Okay, great. Well, this is May 2nd study session of the Trails Master Plan Review Subcommittee. Okay, well, we can still, so the agenda, I think I was going to add, we can't approve meeting minutes, which were posted, but we'll still move on to that. Move on from that. The other thing, I was going to add an agenda item, and that might be actually the most useful thing to do, is Torsten asked for some further clarification on the process of the two proposals in concept that were approved by the Trails Working Group, or the Trails Subcommittee last time. So Wonder and Alice in Wonderland, or at least the partial Alice in Wonderland concept. And so I spent a little time trying to work on that, but I would love to get some input from the group, and particularly from Chris and Luke of Forestlands, how this has worked in the past with Forestlands. So, anything to add for, and then I think we can get some input on how folks feel about Siskiyou. I have our ranking sheet that we did the first day, and I don't know if folks recall, there were, our Siskiyou Mountain Park plan had one less vote than our top three, so we could talk a little bit about that if we want to start another working group. And I think, is there anything else on the agenda that we need to? Okay, well.
It wasn't on the agenda, but email Torsten, they're ready to ask about the upper property again. That's pretty interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Although nothing's happening.
How do you like how I put that?
No.
And I we could also have a conversation about Imperatrix and where that's going to go. I can't really figure out that. Okay.
But for sure, Siskiyou Mountain Park, I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Me too.
That's a good one.
Me too. So let's start with the trails process, and I would say cut in at any point to ask questions, because I'm new to this as well, and some of you have more experience with this process, how it's been done in the past, or how you think it should be done. This is what I'm getting so far, is that, we formed working groups. In this case, we had the Wonder Working Group and the Alice in Wonderland Working Group that put together proposals and concepts that were brought to the whole subcommittee. We reviewed, voted for those and approved those. So both of those proposals are first going to go to the Forest Lands Commission for approval again in concept. And so I had a short conversation with Michael Black that said those approvals would come along with an APRC staff memo with like some background and I wanted to put out there like, do we want to ask Torsten, who was the facilitator for the Wonder Group, or Jeff to come to that Forest Lands Commission meeting to answer questions, or the four of us?
Good idea, if Torsten can.
So that would be preferred, maybe.
If there's a memo with information and the initial findings, if you can get it to me by next Thursday. Oh, wait. Let's see. That's, by Thursday this week. Friday at the latest.
I'll just have to see if
I'll get it on the agenda for next Tuesday. Otherwise, I'm going to have to wait till June.
Okay.
So, Leslie, I have a quick question for you. So, when you say approved, and then you add the corollary in concept, is that a limiting approval, or what does that mean?
So, my understanding is that, let's take this Wonder proposal for example. The working group identified geographic area where a trail could be placed, where they felt it could be placed. They've not put any real design. They haven't, flagged things. They haven't really determined officially whether an engineering geo or a consultant is required. And so it's really just an idea and a concept that has sort of been had a first vetting. And so my understanding is that hopefully Forest Lands Commission will have some recommendations along that regard, and I don't know if that's how it's normally been done, like if there are certain concerns, and send to APRC, say, so far so good, but here are our recommendations.
It's changing in this process, so now that ultimately APRC has the final okay on the trail with all the user everything on it and the proposal, but we never went about it like this via committee, so it was usually like AWTA would fill out an application. Right. Application would get vetted and, well, just really the Forest Lands Commission, but now we're going to go with a dual vetting. But do we want to still, and does APRC Commission still want an application from a user group to build a trail describing all the pertinent items about that trail? The application is cumbersome, so it needs some work, but at least it had like all the information, which, and maybe with what's been built up so far, that's actually just kind of a cursory thing. We've got maps, we've got descriptions, we've got information that can just be put into the blanks. Maybe that we still go that route with an application that the commissions both review and then ultimately APRC approves. Because I assume, well, some user group will actually build the trail. It's not going to be built by city or parks.
Yeah, which, and I don't know for sure, but my assumption has been that, like, RVMBA in, along with AWTA, in partnership with APRC, would be building them. So then it would, like, sort of beg the question of who would fill out that application. And I guess I wanted to ask, in the past, have the applications, trail applications, have they come with completely designed trails? Like, this is where the trail will go?
Yeah, the trail should be, like, pin flags, so we could actually review the crossings, anything specific about it that we really need to give input on. If there's, like, look at geology maps and, like, take some slopes and look at erosive features, or need to go the route of a geology review or not. I should have detail enough that it can be evaluated. Otherwise, it's kind of like, well, there's a hillside. And
well, who does the, and who usually does that?
Always the tourist company.
The trail design.
Well, AWTA has typically done them, but RVMBA has also helped. Like Jabberwocky, Torsten worked on it, but also Nathan Riddle worked a lot on it, and I'm sure a bunch of other people behind the scenes. Jeff was out there a bunch. I was out there some.
So, someone had said that on city property that geotechnical, some kind of, or geologist or
engineering, geo,
yeah, needed to be involved. Is that true?
Not always, and I'm willing to stick my neck out a little bit and say, as long as we're on a slope with features that are not concerning, like it's maybe it's steeper, but it's smooth, we're not going through deep gullies, we're not going through head walls. I know all the features I know that geologists will wince at, which I think there's a decent chance that the Wonder, at least, we could probably forego it, but I would want to see that location. If there's any crossings that have to be built, and Jeff knows all the same parameters, and Jason too. And I've got mapping from the state, and Leah's got landslide hazard mapping from Togami that shows those features also. And so once we have it, we can overlay that with all those resources that we have and try to make a determination what's needed.
Another criteria that also is in the geology conceptual trail was how much important infrastructure is below the proposed pin flag area.
Yep, like resources at risk.
Resources at risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like are there structures? And the one time we hired a geologist to do a conceptual above that tank up here, Upper Lithia, to go a certain way, and he said no. His recommendation was no, because it had these steep, you know, cliff-like cuts in it, and it was just, you know, his opinion was too risky to do it. That was one of the few that they ever said no about. They did on that one. but it's like, are there people's houses? Did somebody let them build right in the middle of the draw in the past for some reason?
Wonder,
or whatever.
Wonder was that.
Yeah.
So if I could jump in here a little bit, talk about this process. I think it's really important. I mean, it's tedious and sometimes seems Byzantine and torturous to get through this process. But from the city council standpoint, if you remember correctly, the one meeting where spurred on by a certain council person, the council jumped in and we were going to take over the process, or at least monitor the process and so on and so on, before we knew that this work was happening, and then we backed off.
Oh yeah.
But the point being, that was spurred by, I'm pretty sure, RVMBA frustration with the process, and that it was too Byzantine and torturous and unclear and stuff like that. So what we're doing right now, I think it's really important to somehow codify that so that there's clear steps that the trail process has to go through. I'll go ahead and say it, that makes RVMBA happy to keep the city council from getting heartburn over it. That's what we hope happens.
Yep.
That it stays under Parks' purview, and the city council strictly weighing in on things that we have to weigh in on and stay the hell out of it otherwise. But that's not going to happen if the process stays muddy and RVMBA keeps bitching and moaning about it.
That's
interesting, because there's a lot of trade-offs in there between the streamlining of it versus not bypassing stuff that shouldn't be bypassed.
Right.
So maybe there's a way to streamline it in a way that, the important issues for this particular proposed trail site can be brought forth. Maybe it's not in a spotted owl area or a fissure area, but maybe it has one geology big question mark. And maybe the recommendation is to get a soil scientist or a geologist to take a look at it conceptually, pin flag, like Chris said. But, you can streamline something so much that you may not even be worth having a process if you streamline it too much, bypassing important things. But I get it about people weren't happy when the application process was first made. I think it was under John.
Yeah.
And, there was a need to have a process. And, of course, there hadn't been as much of a formal process before that, so a lot of people thought, man, this is a bummer. This is cumbersome. But yet it does serve a purpose to give a structure and review, And that's in the master trail plan, too. He said, we would address these different things,
I want to just point something out, which is things may be slowed up because this meeting, we couldn't have our meeting, and what's missing is RVMBA members of the committee.
Right.
And so it's like, if you don't come, then there's consequences.
Or send a surrogate. There's lots of members, send somebody.
All right.
Is that allowed? They might not have known that was an option. Mm-hmm. Brooke, to be fair, Brooke said from the very beginning this was a date that she couldn't have made it. It was just the max number. And also, in terms of frustration with the process, I've had many conversations with Torsten. Torsten has... It's not just RVMBA. It's been frustrating for all trail builders, and he's just happened to have the time and the energy and the ambition to he's the one who's been the most successful with the process.
I get the frustration, but I think if we look at the history in the last 5 to 10 years of what has been approved and built and how long it's taken compared to how long that takes if you were doing that on Forest Service land or BLM. Like, we are so much more efficient than a federal government agency. And, I mean, we can crank through. If it took a year, we would still be 2 years ahead of what it would take if you were on the federal side of the line. So it's all relative. And what we have on our landscape right now is a huge, huge step forward from what it was 10 years ago. And a lot of the applications that have come in have actually gone through the process in less than a year, which is in and of itself remarkable.
Yeah, I agree. And so just to sort of bring this back to what are the steps, I'm wondering now, does it make sense for the proposal as it stands to go to the FLC now, or do we tell RVMBA and AWTA, go fill out an application, it's time to fill an application, we want to see specifics, and then bring it through?
So I have some comments on that, if I could hop in. So I love the application process. I think it's because I'm like a government guy, and so I like the continuity, because I even look back on old applications from Torsten from years ago and look at what he presented to us just as a reference, like in my own. So I do love the idea of continuing using the application form, even if most of that can just be put into the proposal, and then the proposal could almost be, you know, the RVMBA proposal could almost be an attachment to it, really, for more information. So I don't think they need to,
like,
it should make the application form fill out really easy, if, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then,
can I just speak to that point?
Okay.
Just, thanks. I just want to point out that the Trails proposal we received was from a group. It's not this group, and so I don't think we're going to be taking, we're going to say, hey, this is their proposal.
I meant
this
they
group.
Would do that. I'm sorry. I meant like Casey would do that, is what I was envisioning.
But what I'm saying is, we have a new, after we go through all this process, it's not the same proposal that came to us originally. So I think what we, instead of saying this is the proposal, it's really the whatever proposal we come up with. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then you just push aside. That was a starting point. It got things going. It was totally valuable what they did, but it's not what we're doing now. We built on that. We put up with something different and hopefully better.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that totally, now that you explain it that way, for sure. Okay. But I just want to say I like there being forms for each trail, because it just like provides a really nice timeline and a history, and you can compare and contrast. So that, and then I did want to emphasize what you said, Leslie, like Torsten really did, he was making like sales pitches to us at FLC and coming back with more information. We have more questions, more information. It was a long, very intense process, and it really did take a lot of energy. So I couldn't emphasize that enough, his role in that, because partly he would present it to us, flag it on the ground, sometimes lead forest lands commissioners on hikes of the route, stuff like that. I think there may be some commissioners that might be interested in doing that. And our biggest thing for this process that I'm seeing, I know our role is changing, but it's almost like I envision the Forest Lands Commission giving comments and saying, you know, we're going to review what this committee's done and give comments, more than like an approval. So we would, red flag things, say like, well, we noticed that there's some new Douglas fir mortality up there, so that's a consideration. And oh yeah, erosive soils, we haven't treated that area, or we have because of soil this and that. So it almost seems to me like we'll be advising this process from the Forest Lands Commission, but that's totally exceptionally different than what we've done in the past, and I think what we're going to do in the future. So
I think that was the vision.
Okay.
Yeah, that role.
Yeah, and I guess that the application, which I've seen, has been a little while since I've looked at it, that application would essentially just potentially stay the same, but be an APRC trails application as opposed to a Forest Lands Commission application. And so I don't know if this counts as making a decision, but in terms of the process going, it sounds like we don't want to put this on the agenda for this next week for FLC, and that, like, if we're defining this process as we want to see something more developed that we can actually give real specific feedback on, that the thing to do is to basically tell Torsten and Casey that we the subcommittee and wants an application filled out, and figure out you know, I think RVMBA will want to do it, but Torsten should be a good mentor. He's done this so many times, and it's
You know, this seems like
I feel
like this is maybe a decision, because we're actually changing we're changing the process, and changing the process to me sounds like a decision that should be made at a regular meeting. That's probably my opinion.
Yeah, you're right, and they would want to comment on that process. I'm sure they'll have something to say about that.
Well, no, who needs to say something about it, in my opinion, is the committee as a whole.
Right, that's what I mean.
And we can't do that now.
It would come back at the next...
Because it's a decision to change something.
Yeah.
Right, so at the next meeting, Rick and I can have a draft of a proposed process, of a process that is, you know, more clear and will potentially be codified, and have the subcommittee vote on that. Okay.
So the other thing that would be useful at some point would be a representative of this group just give an update to council, and I could participate in that, or introduce that piece, and just be a report. This is where this process is at. This is what's, you know, just to keep that communication line open, and it wouldn't be for any kind of decision from council or anything. It'd be like a.
Well, could you do that as a isn't there a something for
liaisons? Yeah, I could, but it might be more useful to have somebody from this group to be with me.
That's why you're here.
Okay.
But if you don't feel.
No, I'm fine with it. I just you know, I don't want to steal anybody's thunder or anything, but I'm fine with doing that. And I would review obviously my comments, updated comments with you guys before. But the council's got a lot on its plate, and that probably wouldn't come for another month or so, or 2 months. And by that time, this process, I'm sure, will have the wrinkles ironed out of it. And, you know,
and just to be clear, this is mostly because they're somewhat chomping at the bit to,
right,
they're getting pressure
from
to
the
know that something's happening.
Yeah, from the constituent groups to get out in front of some of the criticism, bluntly.
Makes sense.
And I think we could talk about it, because it might make more sense for one of us to come.
Sure.
But let's just...
But
I think what you've done is you said you want to put a placeholder into that idea.
Right. In the on-deck circle at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Rick and I will work on clarifying that. Any other questions or thoughts on this sort of process?
It'd be good to run it by Torsten to see if he's got any ideas about streamlining the application. Mm-hmm. Something he could be working on for the broken clavicle.
I talked to Torsten a lot, for sure.
One-handed typing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Clavicle's collarbone, ideas. Right? Same thing?
The what?
Clavicle's collarbone,
same thing?
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Did it fall off his bike?
It's like the fifth in the last year of... My kid broke his collarbone. Eric Hansen broke it twice. Yuku Barra broke his collarbone. I think it's like one of the most common biking injuries.
This is why when I raced bicycles, I was never the best. I was one of the best going up the hill, but I was chicken going down the hill.
It's not worth it, man.
About, I'm going to ride to the top of Mount Ashland and take the shuttle down. They're going to start charging. Trips down the mountain.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
Good morning.
Oh, well, we just had a really... Well, we're having a study session because only 50% of us made it, unfortunately. So, but it's been useful. And just to update you, we've had a conversation about the process for these trails to get approved, designed, and reviewed. And so, as soon as the study session, we didn't really, Rick and I are probably, you are going to put something together so it'll be codified and very clear for RVMBA and AWTA and other stakeholders. But one of the things we talked about was moving forward immediately with looking at the application, the trails application that Forest Lands has, and making that potentially an APRC application, and asking AWTA or RVMBA or whoever's going to create this application to begin prepare that.
But before we do that, we have to have, this group needs to have a quorum so we can change our direction and do that. So that's, but that, it sounds like a good idea, but we just can't make any decision at this point. Other thing I wanted to say is, and it's good that Michael's here, because I don't think he'll contradict me, but at least he's here if he needs to. I don't think there's a whole lot of cost involved in what we're talking about. But if there are, that's not something that APRC has, you know, the labor or the finances to address at this point. It's not in our budget. It just isn't at this point. So ideally, whatever comes out of this is the groups benefiting, the user groups will be the ones who are doing the work, and maybe even I don't know how we're going to finance if a geotech or something like that is needed.
Well, that could be the problem if we do need professional services, because we're cutting a lot of that stuff out right now. But I wouldn't say that there's nothing. I just think that there is money. We do have money in trails and things like that, but it has to be prioritized. So if these were prioritized over something else, then yeah, we could use a couple $1,000s in materials to help RVMBA construct something, and we could lend a little bit of staff time, but that's probably the extent of what we could do right now. So
is there any TOT money that could be designated from that restricted fund for
We could get TOT money for Lithia Park, and we could probably get TOT money for a lot of different things. It's just never been it has been talked about, but it's been shot down immediately when we have talked about it.
And bike trails, if you believe what Rogue Valley Mountain Bike Association says, it brings in all kinds of people.
Sure.
So that would be a real logical place for it.
Right.
And actually, that might be a politically good timing for that.
Yep.
Are there special use permits? I meant to ask that. That was a follow-up question I had. Just, are there special use permits that could pay for some of the proposal maintenance of what they're proposing?
What do you mean, like the money we receive from special use? We don't get much at all. I think it covers maybe half of our staff time or something.
Gotcha.
Do you know how much it costs to do a special? You've done one, haven't you? A couple $100 or something.
Yeah, that's only events. It's not everyday use.
Yeah.
So it's very infrequent.
Yeah, there's not any money. We don't like having an account that we save up with special events.
Right. Oh, I know some of the proposals were calling for, say, like a seasonal, the dual slalom. Would that be something where the city could get like a special use fee of?
Oh, you mean like a contract for use for
or more? I don't know. I'm not sure. Like a fund? I'm not really sure how these things work, but it was just kind of a random thought I had the other day. It sounds like no, that's not really good.
I don't know. Usually when they do these things, they're to raise money for some foundation or other, or just, I don't know exactly, but if there was somebody who was making money off of city parks, public land, and they were actually, it was a business venture, then yeah, we could do a contract with them, and we could split we could do some sort of split of the revenues, whatever they make. But I don't know that we have any of those situations right now.
Isn't that happening with the Cascadia race? Like, there's a new enduro in the watershed that's the Race Cascadia, and I think they give 15% or something to, but I don't know if it's going up Forest Service or
we don't have a contract with them that says. The only one that we have a contract with potentially going forward would be the Silent Discos. We just did an RFP for that, and they would, if they're going to collect money, they have to give some of that back. But that's the only one that I know.
There's two big expensive enduros coming this summer that
we can look into.
I can check in with Casey. I had a feeling that Race Cascadia was giving money, but I now I want to find out who it's going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
What else do you have on the agenda?
Can I just ask one more quick question on the application? I'll make it so fast. I believe that the old applications for the Forest Lands Commission, the trails were flagged, and we could go and look at them in the field, right?
Correct.
So are we not going to then ask for that with this, because these are more conceptual? I know some could be flagged, maybe some couldn't, but I...
Is it on the application? Is it asked, requested on there?
So... They would get flagged in the past so people could go and look at them. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that, but the one thing I don't like is when you flag them, then random people see them and start using them.
That's true.
And start making them.
Right.
So.
Well, you just have to have them there for a short time.
Yeah, that's the but the, that's the thing. They get
so
flagged, and then
some
people are like, I'll be here next week. I can't go till the week after. I can't, you know. So we try to leave them there so everybody can go, but.
Yeah.
In the meantime, people see it, and we get calls like, why is this being flagged? Is this a new trail? And then people just start using it, start building it. So it is nice to flag them so people can go see, you know, like decision makers and stuff, and see what's actually on the ground. But
I mean, we do like we do with Fireline, like you, if it's going to intersect the trail, make it so that it's not visible from the trail, like no flags within 100 feet.
Or flag it and say it's going to be flagged for a week. That's it.
Or flag it if it's asked for, because maybe people can get the gist from an aerial, you know, so or they know it well enough. Or minimal flagging with a GPS route that other people could follow on some app or something.
Maybe not Strava.
not Strava. one that no one else can see.
Okay, so that sounds like we're good on that.
So I had one other question about the application to you. Sorry, Rick. Let me quit. But I don't remember how much of a section in the application there is about maintenance, but the reviewing of the app might create an opportunity to
really reports, actually
give somebody an opportunity to step up to the plate as far as who's going to do the maintenance. Somebody wants a trail. Maybe they want to help maintain the trail, make a commitment on an application.
The trail.
You know?
They have to.
Just to make sure of that.
So what I've got for homework for basically Rick and I and Michael is to draft a proposed process that could be codified for this whole how do new trails get approved and designed. We also need to review the current FLC trails application. For what that's gonna look like, and then I'm looking at money, collecting money from events that make money off the watershed. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if when you do talk to them about that collecting money, they could put that into the foundation and have it be specifically for trails in the watershed or on that property or that property. So it can be earmarked, and you can ensure that it's only used for that. If you can't do that when you donate money to the city's general fund or parks general fund, it can't be earmarked for that unless it's a grant.
Right.
And it comes with specific criteria. You're just donating money. The best way to do it is through the foundation.
That'd be important to communicate that to RVMBA, because I constantly hear from members about there's money available, and all this kind of thing, and they might want an avenue to make that happen.
Yeah.
It'd be a great way to do that.
Yeah.
Does the Forest Lands Commission have any say over anything that would happen on the Imperatrix property with the FLC
it's
review?
Not in the
that,
forest
so
land.
That's going to be a different process, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, am I correct in assuming that we can't form a new working group during a study session?
Right.
Okay, so I think we'll just table this discussion of Siskiyou Mountain Park. I know some of us are excited to make a working group and start looking at that, but it sounds like that'll be at the next meeting, and we can just form that working group. Should we talk about Imperatrix? Just sort of open it up and see if we can get anywhere. Ideas. I know Luke sent out to the whole. Oh, you just sent to the working group or to the whole.
I think just to the working group is the last
one. So who here is actually on the Imperatrix working group? Okay, me too.
Me.
Dang. I I'm gonna let Mary Lou start talking. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Where to start.
Well, so we did our field trip, and that was a great day. It was actually my first time visiting, going all the way out there. That was great. We got to do a big ride along. Thanks to Jason for driving us out. So we visited, and it was really eye opening for me to see Imperatrice, just kind of where it was in relation to the city and. Just where it is on the hill. I didn't realize it was so visible. So I had a lot of big ideas. I was kind of visiting it was a game changer for me. And I think we had a lot of discussions, but it was hard because we were kind of spread out in different groups. And so there wasn't like standing around in a circle. It was a little cold that day. We didn't really stand around and discuss anything. It was more like lots of small groups having side discussions. But overall, I thought it was really positive. There was a lot of evidence of grazing. We had a lot of discussions on that. And I provided some little handouts that I've got some here too. I can pass them around to the group. But I kind of wanted to make like a cost-benefit worksheet for it. And so this is what they look like. And it was just more of with the conceptual thing, like a way to rate different items. And that leads kind of to what we were talking about today too. If you could red flag, say, if like geology is a big issue or if there's a cultural issue or a hydrology. So we didn't really get a chance to work through those, but I've been kind of working on that.
Benefit cost analysis.
Yeah, and so this is not the fun part of the sheet, because this is only when you're rating different resources on like how threatened they might be by the proposed trail. Obviously, the benefit side is the fun part, where you're, oh yeah, this is great, great, great for all these reasons. So we brought that, and then I sent out some, I guess, after working through that in the site visit, I sent out some comments to the working group in support of the proposal with conditions. Mm-hmm. Not anything specific. I didn't call out this and that, but overall, it was an eye-opener. I really thought more and more that, when you can see Imperatrice, like from I-5, from the port of entry, in my head, I'm just seeing people like between Ashland exits, tourists, maybe they're stopping at the boat station to get their boat inspected for zebra mussels. And they're like seeing bikes doing like flips off of huge jumps right there. And they're like, well, shoot, I'm going to stop in Ashland and hotel it up and take my raft out and go to a Shakespeare play. Golly. So that's what I'm seeing. I didn't realize how visible it is. And that's a lot of my comments were the thought that, oh, the view shed, you know, oh, no, the view shed. I think it's like a huge billboard for Ashland and the future of Ashland, and throw some solar panels up there to like power the bathrooms and the events. So
it's pretty.
I couldn't agree with that more. Also, I did a literature review and looked at the sparrows and the buttercup and the filigree. And so I did a little literature review and sent that out too.
What's the last one?
Filigree, big leaf filigree.
It's a plant.
Yeah. One's a ranunculus.
There is a, I mean, we have a report on the flora and fauna.
Yeah, yeah, the BA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. I was all up in that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
But
yeah.
It's
all
so
what's that? So, oh, thanks.
Grasshoppers, sparrows,
right.
About all that.
Yeah, and so what I did is I went to sources such as like California Audubon and research. I was kind of doing like a scientific literature review on those species to look for management recommendations, because that's one thing I asked our technical specialists or our advisors, resource advisors that were out on the trip, like what are the management directions for these species, and it was kind of vague. So
yeah.
Seasonal restrictions is the biggest thing during flowering time and nesting time or fledgling. So that's all available. I could send out to the bigger group. I'm sorry that was long and rambling, but that's what I got.
Little Johnny came lately here. What's the ownership out there? Is that a public works who has the?
We've been in talks for years with public works about trading some parks properties that we have that would be beneficial to them for the above the ditch area.
Right.
And they brought that up. Scott brought that up just in the last few months with the city council and the presentation he did. He just said it's under. We're still talking about it.
Right. And what's the status of the grazing permit?
That's, well, as far as I know, it's supposed to be just below the ditch, and it's, I mean, I was at the meeting, it got approved, I remember the discussion about it at the council, but I don't remember the length of the term.
At this point.
Is it annual with renewal?
I think it's a 2 or 3 year Okay. And I was pretty involved in, because they were actually grazing above the ditch.
Right. All the fences are down.
And the fences, the last time we were up there, I was up there just a few weeks ago, all the fences were down. So if they run cattle in there, they're going to go above the ditch still.
Right.
And I need to talk to Mike Morrison. And I'm just curious, because I haven't seen any cattle up there. So I don't know if they've just abandoned it or what's going on.
Right.
But there's no cattle there at this point.
Can you find out what the term is, too, since you're...
Sure.
You're going to ask?
Yeah.
Mike something?
It seemed like there was a clause in there that it could be... with certain notice that it could be rescinded or...
I can tell you for sure that there is a one-month termination clause for both sides. And that's what, and that was used to get them, because they had, you know, they had, or to get them to renegotiate the lease. Because the lease actually said, nobody knew this, but the lease actually said if they put a fence up, they could go above the ditch. And that was what no one understood, but that was in the lease.
Right.
And so they renegotiated the lease to say just below, but the basis for that was, hey, either do that or we terminate.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely 30
days. Okay.
Okay. In terms of, like, there is an existing trail design somewhere, right? That someone
well,
put
it's
together?
Not a, it, we, many, many years ago, forever ago, and Dave Cantor was here, he wanted to sell this property, and he was going to propose to city council to sell the whole property. But he wanted to get us to do a trail, an easement up there, so that when he sold it, there would be a trail easement. You remember this?
Yeah. And he came out of there walking 3 inches taller.
So we actually went through, and when I say we, it was them. Went through with a surveyor, and this is all surveyed. This is where, is this the final one?
Well, that was a conceptual final.
That's a GIS interpretation.
There was a map put together that was where the easements would be, but we never got to the point of actually doing a legal description for all the easements.
Yeah.
And Dave Cantor left, so.
The idea behind this when we did it was, We were thinking about a possible Grizzly Peak Trail connection, and if the city was going to sell this land all of a sudden and be gone. So we went up and kind of did a perimeter thing, because in the future, where are you going to get your connection? We don't know. So we kind of did this in case it came in wherever, and then these possible avenues down and out to the egress and ingress points were of such a slope that you could probably work with it and avoid steep bowl area over there.
This is I would say probably an advanced concept, but still preliminary.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we did put that together, and the idea was that there'd be trails up there.
That was
and at
where
the
they
time,
wanted to put all the solar right there, right?
At the time, we actually talked to RBMBA, and there wasn't a lot of interest in it at that time. And of course, that was forever ago, so obviously things change.
And I should say, too, so Torsten provided this to the group, and then also he did respond to what I sent out, that literature review, and just said, don't forget to mention the pedestrian trail. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that, Torsten, we are talking about this and the plan, and you say, like, mixed use, and I think
they were all in. Pedestrian and maybe even equestrian, but
so that's important to know.
But there's a historic house site up there. There's I think even maybe some apple trees and stuff up there.
And a cistern.
And a cistern. Yeah. So
it's an old homestead up there.
Yeah.
Pretty special.
On the form and the piece of paper that you're passing around, that was sort of the cost analysis. There looked like there were kind of four different options of. There's like the dual slalom.
Yeah, so I put all of these trails and all of the RBMBA trails on. So each row was a different trail, and I just tried. So I called out these ones and then the RBMBA ones. So you could say, for instance, one might have a hydrology cost that the other one doesn't, or one might have a bird cost that those two don't. And so just a way that you could see, wow, does this one have a lot of votes against it or for it or kind of.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'm trying to understand, like, how is the working group going to come to some sort of shared vision of what that area is going to look like, because it seems like it's like there's quite the range from dual slalom to like nice multi-use trail. Any thoughts, Jason or Luke, on how
would the first thing that have to happen would be the clarity of public works and parks? I mean, would that be a shared responsibility, or?
So, okay, there's a few ways you could do it, but I mean, we have to admit, going to the council right now and asking for anything to come to parks may not go over, you know? So we would probably be looking at just working with Public Works at this point. And there's not a lot of maintenance, but they would want to know that they wouldn't have anything to do with management and stuff like that, which I think we could do. But eventually it would be really nice to have that in the quote unquote chapter 19A of the charter under open space, because then it's more protected than it is, say, like public works land that's being used for recreational purposes.
But
to answer your question, I don't think it has to be resolved for us to continue working on this. We could even start building on it with permission from Public Works, but it would be much better and cleaner to have it transferred to open space. So.
And then I would just point out too that really for the potential where the slalom is proposed on the RVMBA map, it's down here in this the bike ped area, the ADA, the flat spot. So
yeah,
they would have the same parking area, and so it's not like it would, from what I can gather.
The other?
Or just that this area identified by RVMBA for the dual, and I don't mean to speak to them.
Below the ditch.
It's below the ditch here, so it's really, you know, it's not like, say, up in the middle kind of a deal.
So we need
it's right there by the port of entry.
We need to get with Scott Fleury on this, because they were willing to give up that entire property except that area, and it's right above the weigh station.
Right.
And that's the one area that they identified because it's the easiest to get to for effluent, and it's the right size and everything. So we need to talk to him before we draw up plans, because I don't want to stall things out to where we're going in contradiction to something that's already planned on property that they bought for that purpose. So we should have a talk with Scott Fleury.
I really want to challenge a little bit the idea that the no maintenance. This Imperatus property, it probably has the highest, you know, maintenance for trails of anything in the whole area. Because I'm just thinking, okay, a question. So even if you were to put DG down, which is a huge cost, but even if you put DG down, unless you keep people out of there half the year at least, the trails are going to be destroyed by that. And yeah, even if you don't have equestrians up there, that trail is going to need frequent maintenance, and that's a big expense.
Well, and that's I wasn't really speaking from that perspective. I was talking about transfer of the land. Really, they're not taking care of it right now. Anyways, there's nothing going on up there. But I don't know what the trails are going to look like. I don't know what the maintenance responsibility is going to be. But if we're talking dual slalom and all those types of things, we're talking MOUs with different groups to help maintain that, because it's not just it's not this trail through here. It's very specialized and everything, and we probably don't have the resources to do that to the level I think that everyone would expect.
Are you saying slalom, or are you saying just the trails?
I think some of the trails, I mean, it depends on what we do. Like Rick and I had a conversation about the clay and DG and importing stuff up there. If that's the case, it is going to have to be maintained. But if it was just this, where we are talking about just walking trails and it was passive, as opposed to the very active, what Luke is talking about, the advertisement of it as a destination for mountain biking and everything, I think that's two different levels of maintenance.
Oh, yeah. Construction costs are way different.
So I think if it was just that and we were just kind of roughing in trails and we didn't import soil, I think it would be low maintenance.
But then it's going to be high management because because you have to keep people out of there during the times when you end up with 3 inches on your feet. And that becomes more problematic. And that's why, this is just from my perspective, it's all doable, but it's complicated. It isn't an easy site.
Yeah.
It isn't easy like on DG.
Well, I think that's what I'm kind of focusing on. It's doable, and it seems like it's preferred. I mean, this is what people want to look at. I think if you come up with a plan, the next job will be to figure out how to do it and if we can do it, right? I wouldn't want to shoot it down just yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be too negative and say, oh, we could never take care of it. We should never even look at it or anything like that.
Hedford did it at Roxy Ann at Prescott Park.
Yeah.
And they had a big initial construction cost because they brought in crush. And they put down like 12 inches of crushed, and that's what's on their designated bike route, even though all the trails up there are, they say, are multi-use, but then they have designated bike and equestrian recommendation. A lot of the clay up there, you know, it's, but
it's wet, it's horrible.
Yeah, but where the rock was put down, it holds up a lot better than just DG. It has more structure, but you're going to have a bigger initial cost. They hired an outfit, I believe, out of Seattle that just does that kind of work to come down consecutive, you know, seasons to put out material, you know, and because they don't have a forestry division in Medford Parks or anything, forestry trail.
Well, I think we should proceed with the planning without having, you know, the days are going to get better. Things are going to be, there's grants. Hopefully there's a bright sunny spot over the hill there, and if we get the plan together, that gives us the opportunity to look for those things and to implement it when we do have the ability. And if we don't have the ability.
And if we're using terms like destination, and the kinds of things that Luke talked about, visibility from I-5, and hey, let's stop here. I think there's definitely an avenue for TOT money for something like that. That's a real strong case for that kind of funding, I think.
Yeah, and just going back to what I opened with, I became very, after visiting and going through the literature, became very supportive of the proposal with conditions. And these are some of the things we're talking about, are conditions. Like, well, obviously we're not gonna green light a proposal that's not gonna build trails to, you know, handbook standards and whatever. So it's saying, like, you know, really being supportive of the proposal, but I didn't get into like construction costs and stuff like that. I even, you know, just thinking, would there ever be money to do, I don't know how many miles, 4 miles of geotextile or something, so you're not having to return and do aggregate application year after year. Yeah, I mean, big picture stuff, go big.
So, what is geotextile?
Yeah, you see it. The Grizzly Peak Trail has some. It's like hardened plastic. It looks like lattice, but it can be a couple inches thick, and then eventually it'll fill with whatever substrate or material, or you can put gravel into it. But it just provides often like a hard plastic matting.
It just holds.
Yeah. It holds base on top of it.
Gravel and rock.
Mount Bachelor
keeps it from pumping with the clay below.
I think Mount Bachelor has that on our bike park, but they also have like cement blocks that are on their berms. Yeah, they're pretty scary when you ride on them. But
we had some stretches like that at White Rabbit.
And then can I just conditions was kind of, wanted to emphasize that. And then the second thing is, if we're needing to talk about the RVMBA proposal, none of these trails are in it, so we're kind of like getting some mission creep into this trail system, and it almost seems like we want AWTA and RVMBA to come together and submit the application together. Is that kind of, Rick, what you were talking about with the app, you know, getting an application for this?
Well, see, I still think we're a little bit too narrow in our scope, because Southern Oregon Land Conservancy really should be at the table. We had them come to one meeting just to as subject matter experts, but I'm really thinking they should be involved in the working group, because otherwise I just think we're just missing part of the picture.
Are they providing comments like a member of the public, or are you saying they should be a stakeholder and like a voting member?
They're definitely a stakeholder.
I think they should.
Stakeholder and a voting member, I think, are different.
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
But I think it would make sense if they were willing to have them be part of that working group as an actual member of a working group.
Do they own?
Could potentially be an easement holder, and they can raise money as well.
Okay.
If there was a time when we were looking at raising money to purchase it from public workers, I don't think that's going
to
be necessary.
They need to be involved with Siskiyou Mountain Park, no matter what.
They could.
Yes.
So it would be like Siskiyou Mountain Park sort of situation. I see. Yeah. Okay.
And then what was the connectivity piece between that and Grizzly Peak? There was some other foundation out there that had some connecting property.
They've purchased a property kind of to the, not up to BLM, to Grizzly, but it's kind of more towards Immigrant up that way.
Right. Was there connectivity there, though?
Well, there's a potential connectivity.
I remember what you're talking about. There's
still some private.
Like a corporation had bought a bunch of land up there.
Yeah.
Without getting some of that land, we couldn't get to Grizzly.
Right.
There's still connections.
I don't think we've looked at ownership for a little bit.
Right.
But that is the goal. That's the dream. Yeah. You can start on top of Grizzly Peak and hike all the way to town and then all the way to the top of Mount Ashland.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Here in between.
Yep.
Think big.
Or ride a bike.
Okay.
Yeah. But ride a bike or jog.
But not an electric one.
Yeah.
Or a horse.
Or a horse, huh?
Flee the fifth? I don't know.
Well, I'm due for a conversation with Dave Chapman about moving Imperatus forward somehow, but I'm still have a lot of question marks about how to get the group cohesive and moving forward together. So if either of you, if there's folks that were on other working groups and now like are really want to be involved in Imperatus and be helping to like drive and co-hero that group, let me know. Or also like, maybe I'll touch base with both of you to see if there's anything I can do to kind of make that happen a little better, because I know it's complicated and difficult. Let's see, time check. 11:09. Any other things on Imperatus that are study session worthy to talk about?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I have one quick go back. I think that the expansion of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument under Obama, in addition to being about biodiversity, which the first, I think, monument was focused on biodiversity, I'm pretty sure the expansion had a little bit more emphasis on recreation opportunities, too. And so that, I had a just quick go back to what you said, it really just jives so well with the monument expansion up there that we could connect with that and kind of get to that recreation dream of Grizzly Peak and all that. So. Okay, enough on that from me. Thank you.
I wanted to get the group's perspective. I talked about the rankings that we had come up with on the proposals that RVMBA put in their sustainable trails plan. And, we've got the ones that had very few numbers are Pioneer Street, Lithia Park, and something that we were calling, I don't know, we had like one that was called South Ashland and one that was called Siskiyou Mountain Park, and I think they were like two different plans going on at Siskiyou Mountain Park. since this group is called the Trails Master Plan Subcommittee or Review Subcommittee, I wanted to just throw this out here. Is there any appetite or opinions on potentially, I know Acid Castles and that area has been mentioned many, many times, and opinions on whether it would be our purview to talk about that and to identify. I know they is it on the Sustainable Trails Plan, or they say we're intentionally not talking about it? Or
Acid Castle?
Yeah, I just want to throw it out there because it seems like just another connection in the watershed that might be worth thinking about.
Well, the problem is there's trails, a lot of trails up there already that go through a lot of private property that aren't sanctioned. So I think we've been not talking about it on purpose to not lead people onto private properties.
It's on the open space plan.
Yeah.
I mean, not the open space, the trails master plan, that corridor. Yeah. What creek is it, Taylor Creek?
upper rights.
Rights. Creek. That's rights. Creek. Rights. Yeah. That corridor connects with that, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yep. It would. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, so there's nothing saying you can't talk about it. I mean, it's just, I think Jason's saying, should we talk about it and bring light to illegal trails?
And there's a whole system of illegal trails.
I mean, my question is there any benefit to a working group here? Is there opportunity there for a working group to look at the potential for legal trails, or?
Well, I think the question I have is, there a potential for this group to turn into an actual committee, Rick? So that you can just, instead of, because we're ad hoc right now, but maybe this should just be a committee.
But the demand for trails is not gonna go away.
That's right. That's right. So maybe instead of, because like you talk about this, and then next time it might be something else, there always could be something and actually form a committee. But we can talk about that.
Okay.
But I don't think there's anything preventing you from bringing it up, except it's not part of the original charge, which neither is. Well, was it? No, Imperatrix wasn't on
and
the original.
Yeah, Imperatrix was.
It was. Okay.
Has there been conflict up there with the trails on private property?
So just
up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Making
well, I just yeah. can't. It's and public like property. Jim and Occupy,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Illegal trails.
Yeah.
And the
campers up there, fires, campfires.
You're never going to run out of
trash. Lots of trash.
Right.
So are we wrapping up?
Sounds like it.
Feels like it.
People start.
Why is it every time we have one, it just gets cold?
Like should have done it yesterday. When it was like 75.
Yeah. Wednesday's
supposed to be in the 80s. So.
Yeah.
Really? One comment on the Acid Castle. Sorry to interrupt. It's not in the forest plan yet.
No,
we're planning to add it to the forest plan for FLC. It's not, so because it was purchased after 2016, we don't have that. We've been talking about it, but not.
It's still review resource issues there.
Yeah, for sure. Our plan is to add it in the at some point in the near future.
And that whole hillside probably needs its own group for a number of years because there's so many issues from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Separate study.
Which we need to talk about those HOA properties.
Right.
So, yeah. Maybe set something up and talk about it.
Yeah, it's I'm interested in learning more about that, just with Hit Road. And as a biker, you finish riding and you're just riding down Strawberry hoping you don't die. Like, it's not fun. So, and I always think there should be a way to hike, and there is one.
You make a bailout plan as you're going down.
That Granite Street Trail is still open, right? And that, but that goes like through somebody's amazing house and yard.
Granite. Yeah, there's an easement there, and you can exit on it, but you know it's no bikes. It has to walk your bike
down. There's a bunch of stairs.
It's crazy. No. It's really crazy steep. I always feel terrible when I'm like, hi, thank you so much. Did they like buy that property with the requirement that they had to do that?
No, yeah, I think he built the house, but was it,
Yeah.
And then he changed it when he built the house.
There was an easement there initially, and then when he built the house, he was responsible to redo it.
Are you talking about
keep
Rob
the
Kane?
Easement. Rob Kane, right.
Backyard there.
Oh, that's Jeff the famous knows who's Rob Kane. I didn't realize that was his house.
You ask him if you're gonna make a viewpoint at on the top of his house.
Yeah. Put a deck up there.
Yeah. That's a lot of bricks.
Just kidding. He wasn't sitting out there with a shotgun or anything.
Like, and Rob Kane used to be the president of AWTA.
He's the runner guy, right?
Yeah. He's a big runner.
Yeah. He's the president of AWTA.
So all those races, all those, like the running races, all those things cost money. Like ATRC doesn't require, they're just the price of the permit.
Just the price of the permit.
Gosh. Well, I mean, if this becomes a destination for big sporting events, people are shelling out hundreds of dollars per person for those things.
We need to hold our own running events and charge.
Good source there.
Well,
opportunities. Seems like it should go back to the community that is maintaining it. So I would pursue that for sure.
Yeah.
And parking meters. Why don't we have parking meters? I'm going to keep saying that for the next 2 years of my
term. There's a committee for that. So I'm sure there is.
All right. Can I officially adjourn us? Thank Please. You, everyone. That was helpful. Sorry we didn't have a quorum. Not sure. I guess I'll send out an